He started 33rd and finished 37th. Jimmy Johnson's third-place finish at Bristol on Monday has got to seem like a win for that team.
We've been talking about our cars performing better and driving better and creating speed the last 3 weeks or so. But to finally back it up with a solid finish is exactly what we needed. And to see my teammates with positive comments about their cars the last few weeks and some good results yielding from all of that, and we definitely have it rolling in the right direction. And specifically on the 48, you know, last weekend there was a lot of excitement with the speed in our car, but we just had some bad luck on track and on pit road and a variety of things that went on. And to really be so buttoned up on race calling, pit stops, what I did in the car, you know, the whole thing, I really feel like we're rolling in the right direction now.
The final lap.
The following call is real. It took place between an OnStar advisor and a member.
OnStar emergency.
I was just rear-ended and I have a child in the car.
Does anyone hurt?
My son says his head hurts.
I have you at Central Avenue.
No matter where you are, you're never alone with OnStar.
I'll bring my partner on the line.
Okay, Ms. Bull, I am sending first responder to help. How old is your child?
He is 4.
I know this was a scary situation for you, but I'm going to be right here with you.
This is scary for my son right now.
Keep talking to him. Keep him alert.
I'm sorry.
No, that's what I'm here for.
An emergency medical dispatch certified advisor is there for you, ready to help, 24 hours a day.
Okay, it looks like the first responder is coming out.
Go ahead and speak with them. Please know we are here whenever you need us.
Thank you.
OnStar is available on Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. OnStar. Be safe out there. OnStar advisors certified by International Academies of Emergency Dispatch. OnStar acts as a link to emergency services. Visit OnStar.com for details.
Which player who you aren't going to see tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium is going to make the biggest impact on the field for the Hawkeyes in 2018? That and more coming up right now. 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's not good enough, I won't say a f***ing thing. I'll go yes, sir, no, sir. And I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to f***ing deal with this every f***ing team that we play has to know every f***ing guy that's here and what they can and can't do. F*** me.
Oh, Brian Price, we hardly knew ye. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 4:06 on a Thursday, April 19th edition of the program. I'm not a baseball expert, but maybe, just maybe, firing your manager 18 games into the season instead of doing it in November or late October of last year, maybe that's not the best way to move your franchise forward. But Brian Price, if you had him, I know the gym class just talked with Smokin' Dave Cokin out in the desert. They take bets on this every year. If you had Brian Price as the first Major League Baseball manager to lose his job in 2018, you can head to the windows and collect your winnings. We've got a great show for you today. $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We're going to put that in somebody's hands before 7 o'clock tonight. Check them out online, fieldhousefirstav.com. That's with the numeral 1 in there. That's coming up. We'll do that. You know what? I'm going to do that right off the bat here sometime in hour number 1. How about that? We are talking a lot of football this week, and specifically about the Hawkeyes. They've got their spring practice, scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. It certainly isn't a game. That's coming up tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium, 7 o'clock. Gates open at 6. Ben Godar is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the program. He's a documentary film director who is working on a brand new movie. Maybe you're aware of this, maybe you're not, about the origins of the Cy Hawk Trophy. The film coming out, Birth of the Cy Hawk. Very much looking forward to bringing you our interview with him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our burning Iowa spring football question of the day. We mentioned it at the top of the program. Who's that one player that you're not going to see tomorrow, either sitting out with an injury or a guy who's not on campus yet, who you think is going to make the biggest impact for the Hawkeyes in 2018. 319-366-1600. Woodja is on tap in the 5 o'clock hour. And Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago is going to join us tonight at 6:05. Lots to talk about with him. It is NFL schedule release day. The schedule is set to be released officially at 7 o'clock tonight, although they are starting to leak out early. Sounds like the Bears and the Packers are going to be meeting early on this season. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. But there's a lot of Bears stuff to get to because Mitch Trubisky made some comments to the media today that didn't exactly paint the previous coaching staff in a great light. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Chris coming up at the top of hour number three. Lots more to get to. Cubs trying to hang on for dear life right now against the St. Louis Cardinals as they're finally playing baseball at Wrigley Field, which is good to see. We've got our fingers crossed that the Cedar Rapids Colonels are going to be able to knock the rust off tonight in Beloit. They got over, I was told, there was, I think it's a foot of snow, something along those lines in Beloit. They moved today's doubleheader back from a 4 o'clock start to a 5 o'clock start so they can try to get the field ready in time. And the Colonels are going to play a doubleheader and then get on the bus and come back to town and play tomorrow. And they open that series against Kane County at Veterans Memorial Stadium for a Z102.9 Mug Club night. That's going to be some tired Colonels coming back to town from that trip to Beloit. So much to get to, as well as your texts on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years.
What do you think Dusty Baker's thinking right now? I can't help but wonder if he's sitting on his couch laughing right now. I know that he's
chewing on a toothpick is what he's doing.
Everywhere he goes, he doesn't win in the postseason.
My hatred for Dusty Baker's irrational. I'm going to apologize for it. There are managers that you just don't like and managers that you do. Jim Riggleman is a guy I like. Took the Cubs to the playoffs in the 90s. He's the interim manager there in Cincinnati, getting another chance to get back into a big league dugout. They also, Cincinnati today, parted ways with Mack Jenkins, who is their pitching coach. Cincinnati's pitching has not been great this year, although J.J. Cooper, Baseball America, pointed out earlier today that prior to Mack Jenkins taking over as the pitching coordinator on the minor league side of things about a decade ago, the Reds were awful at developing young pitchers. They had arm injuries all over the place, and Mack Jenkins takes over, and suddenly Homer Bailey, Johnny Cueto, they had a long run of arms that they were able to develop and bring to the big league level. So that may be throwing the baby out with the bathwater there, but interesting times to say the least. Bottom line is you can't start 3-15.
No.
I hadn't been paying too much attention, but I saw Mark DeRosa mention on Major League Baseball Network earlier today, Joey Votto has one extra base hit right now. So he's not hitting the ball. And that lineup isn't necessarily built for contention anyway, but tough go of it. Of course, we've got Cedar Rapids native Scott Schebler, who's still shelved on the disabled list with the Reds, but he's going to be a big part of that rebuilding season for them. Rebuilding season, God knows whatever number it is in Cincinnati. And yes, remember, at the beginning of the season, I said, oh, that Cincinnati team, they're going to be better than Pittsburgh this year.
They're going through injuries, but my goodness.
I'm the one who always reminds people that it's early. It's 18 games.
It is
but
early.
I'm going to go ahead and you guys can call the marker in on that one. I missed the boat.
Cincinnati's really bad.
Really, 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 really bad. Do you remember that Brian Price rant?
I do.
That was just a highlight. It was like a 6 minute.
That was year one, wasn't it?
It was
year one or two of Brian Price. I thought it was pretty early on.
That was Brian Price who was upset that a member of the media did their job and reported that a player was joining the team because he ran into him at the airport doing his job, reporting, hey, this player is in town. He must have gotten called up. and Brian Price didn't like it. Now, I know we've got a lot of Reds fans here because for a number of years, Cincinnati was the affiliate of the Colonels. At that point, they weren't the Colonels. They only changed to the Colonels after Cincinnati split town. But Cyclone Tim, I got a Facebook message from him earlier today. Big Reds fan. Happy to see Brian Price. If you are a believer in such things, religiously inclined, symbols and whatnot, take note that Brian Price managed 666 games as skipper of the Reds. Maybe, I hope he's not superstitious.
Oh, no.
I would have lobbied, hey, can you keep me around for one more?
Or just fire me the game before, please.
Just get me off the mark of the beast number. But, hey, it's good work if you can get it. I think he was well compensated, as most managers are. I mentioned it's NFL schedule release day. It is also Big Ten schedule release day. Now, not the full schedule. The dates are not released yet, but the Big Ten did announce the single home and away games as well as the home and aways for both men's and women's basketball. Here's how things are shaping up for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes this year, and you guys can tell me whether you like this or not. The home and away series will feature Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. The Hawkeyes will host at Carver Hawkeye Arena and then turn around and hit the road. The Carver Hawkeye only trips this year: Illinois comes to town, Maryland comes to Iowa City, and John Beilein and the Wolverines. Okay, that's pretty good. Good home schedule there for the Hawkeyes during Big Ten play. Road trips only, the one-offs: Minnesota, Penn State, and Purdue. So the Hawkeyes are only going to have to play Purdue once. And if Tony Carr were still with Penn State, I would say, hey, they dodged a bullet. I don't think Penn State's going to be as good next year as they were this year. But what are your thoughts? Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Penn State, and Purdue are the six teams in the Big Ten that the Hawkeyes will only have to play once next winter.
It's tough because we had this discussion last year when there were expectations coming into the season, and I think a lot of people looked at the schedule and said it's favorable. They had a pretty solid draw last year and had one of the worst seasons under Fran McCaffrey. So I think it's more on them than anything. But having said that, the Big Ten is going to be completely new look. And I guess I will reserve judgment until we get the final tally of who is staying and who is going as far as the NBA draft, who returns for the Iowa Hawkeyes if Tyler Cook decides to go to the NBA draft or to come back, and what this roster looks like, because there's no question that if this team plays the way that they did last year, they're going to have trouble against anybody that they play in the Big Ten. So glad to see the schedules coming out. As far as the Big Ten and the NFL, I still can't for the life of me understand what the big deal with this is, especially since we know.
Should note that the women's schedule also came out from the Big Ten today as well. They do things a little bit differently on the women's side with the number of conference games, so it's a little bit different than the men's. But for Lisa Bluter and her crew, they will play home and away series with Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska, and Purdue. The home games at Carver Hawkeye Arena, you got Brenda Fries and the Maryland Terrapins coming to town next year, along with Northwestern, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. And then the Hawkeyes will make road visits to Indiana, Minnesota, Ohio State, and Penn State. Speaking of Minnesota women's basketball, did you see that Lindsey Whalen was a terrific player for Minnesota, is going to coach the Gophers next year and also remain a WNBA player?
I did not see that.
I'm fascinated by that because it's very difficult to do two jobs and do both of them well. I know that firsthand. It's difficult for me to even do two jobs half half decent. But this is it's an out-of-the-box hire for Minnesota in one regard, that they're willing to allow her to do this. And I think she's probably close to retiring from the WNBA. So,
is she still on the U.S. national team? That's my question. Because I know she was a part of the Rio U.S. Olympic team. So that would be a really tough job for her to do, to play in the WNBA, to coach for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and also be a part of Team USA. So I, that is an out-of-the-box hire. But I know coaches are getting younger and younger, so the age thing isn't really a big deal anymore.
319-366-1600, NFL schedule release day, Big Ten releasing the matchups for next year. Again, we'll know the dates and times coming up at a later date. Cubs and Cardinals going on. Iowa spring football game tomorrow. It's not necessarily going to be a game. It's going to be more of a practice. As a matter of fact, Iowa has once again put out some more information on that. 6 o'clock gates open, 7 o'clock the practice starts. No autograph session tomorrow for the kids. They're going to save that for in the fall and kids' day. Probably not a bad idea, because I don't think there are going to be too many children at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, although at least it's not snowing. It's a bright, beautiful, nice day out today.
I told you yesterday that yesterday was going to be the last round of crap weather for a while, and hopefully I can stick to that promise, and it looks like that will in fact be the case. It's only going to get better from here over the next week or so.
420, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, Kyle's going to have your first big board of the day. Remember, hold me to this. We're going to give you an opportunity to win the $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids sometime here before 5 o'clock. Ben Godar, the documentary film director, is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour discussing the upcoming release of the new film about the creation of the Cy Hawk Trophy and the renewal of the rivalry between Iowa and Iowa State. More Hawkeye football talk to come. More everything to come. We're going to touch on a lot of bases today. 319-366-1600, as many as Leonis Martin did for the Tigers today. Had a very good game if you weren't paying attention. Back with more after this.
Used car and truck shoppers, this weekend and only in beautiful Hiawatha. Pre-owned Power Buy pricing at the McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night. This is the sale of over 2,500 quality used vehicles from $39.88. And full-size pickups, Silverados, F-150s, Sierras, power price from $11,988. Nowhere else in eastern Iowa, only at McGrath Used Car Campus. I-380 and Boyson Road in beautiful Hiawatha. Through Monday night, Power Buy prices from $39.88. With credit amnesty, nobody's held back. You're approved. And at the McGrath Used Car Campus, full-size pickups from $11,988. The perfect gift for a graduating senior? Late model Chevy Cruzes from $10,988. Pre-owned Power Buys, every budget, every make and model. Cars from $39.88. Trucks from $11,988. And with credit amnesty, you're approved. The McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night, I-380 and Boyson Road. For details, log on McGrathAuto.com.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
And when you speak of me, speak well.
You guys are never going to believe who Reds fans want to be the next manager of the team. And I say Reds fans, I'm painting with a broad brush here, because not all of the Cincinnati fan base is clamoring for Barry Larkin to be the next manager of the team. But this is something that I feel steadfastly about, and I have talked about this on the program here a number of times. Don't do it. Don't have that popular Hall of Fame player, that franchise type of guy. And now Cincinnati has, of course, a lot of them. The Big Red Machine was great in the 70s. Larkin's from a little bit of a different era, but Barry Larkin is immensely popular. He's working for the Reds right now on the player development side of things. There are a lot of Reds fans out there that are saying, Barry Larkin, Barry Larkin. It's such a tough spot to put a popular guy into. And I keep going, I always reference Alan Trammell in Detroit. And, you know, when Cubs fans wanted to see Ryne Sandberg manage the Cubs when they were terrible.
How relieved are you that that never happened?
Well, I'm relieved because I don't think Ryne Sandberg was a very good manager.
Right, that too.
But I'm also happy that I got to be disgruntled with Dale Swaim and Mike Quadi. Mike Quadi, who's going to be coming through Cedar Rapids this summer because he now works as a roving instructor for the Twins, and I want to have Mike Quadi on the show because I've been a big fan of his for a long time, going back to, you know, the late 80s, early 90s when he was coming up through the minor leagues as an up-and-coming coach. But I'd much rather, at the end of the day, be sitting at the end of a bar drinking beer, watching the Cubs on WGN complaining about Dale Swaim, then sitting there complaining about a player that I loved as a kid. I just, so careful what you wish for. And I'm staring, we talked the last couple days about some of the items that are in the studio now here in the KGYM studio. And one of the things that I brought in here is the autographed poster from the 86-87 Iowa men's basketball team. You folks may remember they had a reunion a couple years ago at Carver Hawkeye Arena, and they reprinted the posters that KRNA used to make back in the day. And I'm looking at B.J. Armstrong with that fur coat. You'll know which one I'm talking about. It's the GQ inspired cover, GC. A Gentleman's Quarterly, I believe, is the poster name. I'm looking at B.J. Armstrong, and he's got that fur draped on his shoulder, and all I can think of is when the Iowa basketball job was open, I think the last two times, people are like, B.J. Armstrong. And my response was always, why? Why? What makes you think that that would have been a great hire? It could work out, and I know the text line right now. I don't even need to look at the text line, because every time the subject comes up, people on the text line always grab those examples that actually did work out, where the popular former player comes back and coaches the team. But more often than not, it seems to me to be a very bad idea, because you're putting somebody that you love, you value as a franchise, into a position where it's very difficult for them to succeed. Remember the old saying, managers are hired to be fired. So had the Cubs hired Ryne Sandberg, they're hiring him to fire him. And that is not something that... So by all means, turn a 3-15 team over to Barry Larkin. But you look at MLB.com story, Joe Girardi. You think Joe Girardi is going to come out of retirement, and I use air quotes there, to manage that team?
No, he will not.
No. Brad Ausmus, did you watch any of Brad Ausmus's managerial moves in Detroit? They were not good. Some of the other candidates, Manny Acta, I like Manny Acta. I think he's a good guy. But poor Manny Acta. Every job opportunity he gets tied to is that young up-and-coming franchise. He managed the Nationals before the Nationals were good. He managed the Indians before the Indians were good. I guess if you're Cincinnati, maybe you say, hey, we bring Manny in for a couple years, and then we give him the boot, and maybe we'll be good. You know what else is good right now? Yeah, you read my mind. A big board update. Here's Kyle, your first of the afternoon.
The Big Ten announced its scheduling assignments for the upcoming basketball season today. Iowa's going to have home and aways with Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. They'll have one game hosting Illinois, Maryland, and Michigan, and one game at Minnesota, Penn State, and Purdue. This will be the first year of a 20-game conference schedule, and full schedules will be announced in mid-August. The Iowa wrestling team saw varying degrees of success throughout the season, but four Hawkeye wrestlers were consistent with their academics all season long. Michael Kemmerer, Alex Marinelli, Brandon Sorensen, and national champion Spencer Lee were all named to the National Wrestling Coaches Association Division I All-Academic Team. It's the second straight season being honored for Sorensen and Kemmerer, and the 13th straight season that at least one Hawkeye has been recognized. The Iowa baseball team is getting ready for a weekend series with 25th-ranked Minnesota beginning tomorrow, but today also added another opponent to its 2018 schedule. The Hawkeyes will now face Missouri, currently sitting at 25-12 on the year, on May 1st at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. A previous scheduled matchup with Western Illinois on that day will now be played on May 2nd. It's going to be the first meeting between Iowa and Mizzou since 1997. After five straight days without playing competitive baseball, the Colonels finally got a day without complications. Well, almost. A doubleheader in Beloit was scheduled to begin at 4, but will now start at 5. Blaine Enloe will get the start in Game 1, and Game 2 will be played under the lights.
What's Johnny Bench doing nowadays? Maybe they can put him in the dugout, and Barry Larkin can be the bench coach. Keep them coming on the text line. I love reading them.
319-366-1600. That would be a disaster. Although, you could hire... Oh, you can't hire Pete Rose. Never mind.
I like the way you think.
It's a low blow.
Nope.
I like the way that you think.
Sorry, Reds fans.
Maybe Smokin' Dave Koken. You know, next Thursday, I want the gym class to ask Smokin' Dave Koken if he knows Pete Rose. He's based in Vegas, right? I'm sure he's run into Pete a couple times. 319-366-1600. Hey, we're going to talk Hawkeyes and Cyclones, Cy-Hawk series football coming up in just a few minutes. Ben Godar, a documentary filmmaker, is joining the program. If you haven't heard, there's a new movie about the Cy-Hawk series coming soon. We'll talk with him next.
This bottom of the hour SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Spurs coach Greg Popovich is mourning the death of his wife, Erin, and will not be with the team for tonight's Game 3 against the Warriors in San Antonio. Tony Parker talks about sharing his coach's grief.
I had an opportunity to see him in a different way, obviously, because I've been here for so long. And so to be with him last night, you know, at his house and share those moments, you know, with his family was very emotional.
Assistant Ettore Messina will coach the Spurs tonight. Erin Popovich died after a lengthy illness at age 67. The Heat and 76ers play Game 3 in Miami tonight with that series tied. 76ers center Joel Embiid is now cleared to play tonight after the team said he was doubtful earlier in the day. The first baseball manager fired this season is the Reds' Brian Price. The team is 3-15, and in the first 4 years under Price, did not have a winning season. Bench coach Jim Riggleman is now the interim Reds manager. Finals today, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 8-5. Tigers take the Orioles 13-8.
Want to take your ticket buying experience to the next level? Try Vivid Seats. From the hardwood to the diamond to the gridiron and concert hall, Vivid Seats has you covered for all your ticket needs. Download the free Vivid Seats app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticket partner of ESPN.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's saves pros money every day. And this week, we're saving pros even more during DeWalt Days.
Look for special savings like $20 off select DeWalt 20-volt max cordless bare tools now through April 25th. Plus, save 5% on every purchase every day when you use your Lowe's business credit account. See the Lowe's Pro Desk for DeWalt days and credit details. Offer subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Winning at sports and at sports broadcasting means changing things up.
Just like La Quinta Inns and Suites is changing up their look.
A renovated lobby that's so contemporary it even makes Golic look cool.
Yes, it does. And a totally updated fitness center that even has Wingo feeling like a workout.
I'm ripped. Plus, plenty of comfortable spaces to hang out.
Yep, this La Quinta look definitely has a vibe of victory.
So you can just relax, refresh, and get ready for your next big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQ.com.
You can't take a 700-horsepower Indy car out on the road, but you can take the tires. The new Firehawk high-performance tires from Firestone are built with racing-inspired technology and have better wet and dry handling than ever before. Now the only thing missing is a pit crew.
Hi, Dad.
Well, that's a start. Find your perfect Firehawk performance tire at your local Firestone retailer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
I was never the fastest, never the biggest, never the strongest. But I never let that stop me. I never lost my focus.
NFL Draft. The first round selection is...
Passion moves us forward. It's how you think, it's how we think. Courtyard by Marriott. Official hotel of the NFL.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Welcome back in, 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, heard all across eastern Iowa. Plus, on the FM side, you've got us at 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Great Thursday show for you so far. Friday, tomorrow, we've got the Iowa spring game practice, whatever it is, but good opportunity to talk a little Hawkeye football and Iowa State football this week as well. I think this is going to be well-received by the listeners for both fan bases. I don't know how many people are aware of this, but there's going to be a new film, a documentary about the birth of the Cy-Hawk trophy and the renewal of the rivalry in the late 70s between Iowa State and Iowa. And Ben Godar is actually the guy who's in charge of this whole thing, and he's joining us on the program to talk about this right now. And Ben, I guess my first question for you is, why this subject?
Well, you know, it's a story that I've known for a number of years, and I just feel like it's such a great story. You know, the fact that this well-known trophy for this, you know, huge rivalry in our state was created by just kind of a group of ordinary guys. You know, but I also think it's not a real widely known story. And so I just kind of, you know, being a filmmaker myself, I just kind of thought, you know, hey, boy, somebody should make a film out of this. And I guess it should be me. So.
And it's interesting. You mentioned the fact that it was this trophy was originally created by the fans. So talk a little bit about that. These guys who were, they called themselves bowling buddies, got together, made this trophy, and at first really didn't have an idea of what to do with it.
Yeah, so, you know, it was 1977, and, you know, the two schools were going to play for the first time in 43 years, and I wasn't around then, but from everybody I talked to, and I guess as we could all imagine, it was, you know, a pretty huge deal, and everybody was excited about it. And so Bob Utes was kind of the instigator of it all, and he was just driving in the car one day, as he tells his story, listening to sports radio, as a matter of fact, and just kind of said out loud, you know, boy, there ought to be a trophy for this game. And his son actually said, well, why don't you do it? And so that was the spark. And, you know, he had a group of guys who, you know, they had a bowling team together and, you know, they played cards. I mean, you know, they were more or less drinking buddies if you want to get right down to it. And, so he kind of approached them and said, hey guys, what do you think about this idea? And, they said, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And so, you know, they just kind of, you know, plotted on from there. But, you know, I mean, they were just, you know, again, they were just ordinary guys. They didn't have any official, connections with the universities or the athletic departments or anything. So, you know, it's a pretty amusing story how they, you know, were able to, you know, stumble through that and ultimately be successful.
So I think that leads to a natural next question there. If these guys had no connections to Iowa and Iowa State, how did they go about convincing the two schools that would be a good idea to play for this trophy that they just sort of made up?
Well, you know, the short answer is they didn't, because they went to the schools first and, you know, kind of said, hey, we've got this trophy. And, you know, the schools basically said, well, who the heck are you guys, you know? And so they didn't get a lot of traction with the schools themselves. And we, you know, for the film, one of the people we've talked to is Max Urich, who's the former athletic director at Iowa State. And he was there at the time, you know, and he kind of said, you know, internally, they were, I mean, on top of the fact that just, you know, who are these guys, you know, he also said there was some trepidation from the schools about, you know, just restarting the rivalry at all. And, you know, how big, you know, do we want to, how big of a thing do we want to make out of this? And, you know, just not, you know, I think just moving cautiously as those huge institutions tend to do. So anyway, you know, the guys, they were kind of left to try to figure something else out. They tried to approach some sponsors or get in that way. And then what ultimately ended up happening was they read in the newspaper that Bob Ray, the governor at the time, had a daughter at Iowa State and a daughter at Iowa, and was going to sit on one half for one side and the other half for the other side. And they thought, all right, this is the guy we need to talk to. And then they somehow got themselves a face-to-face meeting with him at the, you know, at the state capitol here, and convinced him to give away this trophy for that first game.
You mentioned the state legislatures basically bringing this rivalry back into the forefront, and then now Bob Ray, the governor, meeting with these guys. Does it ever kind of amaze you how much the state government has been involved with this football game, and does that show how important it is to this state?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that really, to me, just kind of lets you know what the atmosphere was like during that 43-year period where they weren't playing. There were multiple, you know, attempts by the legislature to pass resolutions, some of which passed and things like that, essentially, you know, ordering the schools to renew the rivalry. Now, it seems like it was, you know, I mean, these things weren't necessarily binding, or they didn't necessarily, you know, have that, you know, power to make the schools do this, but just the fact that it rose up to that level, you know, and that the, you know, state government did get involved trying to make this thing happen, it really lets you know just how desperate, you know, fans throughout the state were for this game to be played during all those years when it wasn't played.
Ben Godar joining us discussing Birth of the Cyhawk, the new documentary film that he's working on. One of the things that I think people may have a question about with the original trophy, and of course I think we're on version number 3.5 or 4, depending on how you view the one that didn't go over very well, the Greater Des Moines Athletic Club. Is that an actual organization, or is that something that these guys that were trying to come up with the trophy just made up on the spot to give themselves a little more credence?
More that. You know, they kind of recognize that, you know, they needed, if they were going to give this trophy away, they, you know, just putting, you know, a bunch of guys on it or something wasn't really going to do. So they, you know, they formed the organization, but basically just to, you know, to have a name to put on the trophy. The name they chose, of course, a little bit of a wink to the Heisman Trophy. More or less it's something that they made up. But, you know, they did officially, you know, they were, you know, formed an LLC or whatever, and kind of went through all the, you know, the legal stuff on that. And, I think at one point they even considered, you know, trying to maybe sponsor some other kind of athletic-related things. But, you know, ultimately it was pretty much just the trophy.
I guess just ballpark here, but how many times did these guys get turned down before they got that meeting with the governor?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it was probably a good dozen times, you know, because they began working on it about a year ahead of the game, you know, because it was cemented on the schedule and everything, you know, for I think, 2 years before the actual game was played. So everybody knew it was coming. And so, you know, from kind of having the idea, and then, you know, they kind of designed the trophy. They worked with a trophy shop in Des Moines, and then the trophy was built at a place in Chicago, but, you know, they kind of picked out how it would look and everything. Of course, they all pitched their own money in to have the trophy, the trophy built. I believe it cost $500, which, in 1977, $500 is, not an insubstantial amount of money. So they did all that and then, kind of started working their way through with the schools first. And then I know they went to places like the Des Moines Register and some other kind of, sponsor type places they thought might be interested. And, they were pretty late in the game and they had pretty much struck out when they, got the meeting with the governor. It was really kind of their last chance Hail Mary. So, we're all lucky that it worked out.
Speaking of massive amounts of money, putting a film together, I imagine, is no easy feat or cheap for that matter. So how are you going about funding this little endeavor?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And it's, we were able to raise a little bit of money early on just from kind of, more or less friends and family type, people who knew the story and, myself and several of my, crew, have done a lot of the production already and the filming already as a somewhat of a labor of love, but, we're really moving into post-production now. And if, you're familiar with the filmmaking process, a lot of costs kind of come in that post-production phase. So we are right now running a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo, to raise the money to push us through and hopefully get us through post-production. So I definitely encourage anybody who's a fan of the series, anybody who would just want to see this film, to go check us out there on Indiegogo. You can link there from our website, which is SciHawkDocumentary.com, or our page on Facebook. They'll all get you there pretty easily. But, if anybody's able to, come help us out, pitch in a few bucks, that'd be great. We've got some fun perks we're giving away. We're actually running a little bit of a contest as well. Whichever fan base donates more, we're going to do the premiere either in Iowa City or in kind of in Des Moines. And I got to tell you, watching it happen, it's amazing how down the middle it's been. It's been extremely close, and it's been that way through the whole campaign. So just like everything else in the state, it really seems to be, really have that kind of Iowa-Iowa State split.
What about you, Ben? Do you have any ties to Iowa or Iowa State? Or are you just standing back as a filmmaker saying, hey, I got an interesting subject here?
Well, I don't have any, I don't have any official ties. I'm not, working with the...
Well, I meant, I didn't know whether you went to Iowa or Iowa State or grew up a Hawkeye fan, Cyclone fan. That's what I'm kind of wondering here.
I understand. Well, to be honest, I'm a little bit of a down-the-middle case myself. I lived in Marion when I was younger. A lot of my family is from Marion. So if anybody knows any Godars from Marion, they're probably, aunts and uncles and cousins and things like that. I lived there through kind of elementary school age, and then my family actually moved to Ames, and I did go to undergraduate at Iowa State. So, as a kid, I kind of grew up and was a Hawkeye fan, and then moved to Ames, and then I was, the kid wearing Hawkeye gear to school on, kind of Iowa State Day and everything. But, living in Ames as long as I did, going to college there, and then I, moved away to L.A. for a number of years. I find myself now kind of one of those wishy-washy people that's just kind of, enjoys both teams. But I was definitely raised a Hawkeye fan, so they're probably still closer to my heart.
So you mentioned that you've known about this story for a while. How many times when telling this story, did you get the, I had no idea, before you thought that you'd make this into a documentary?
First off, every time I tell it, and I feel like it's very, it's just not a widely known story. And, I always thought, boy, this should be made as a film. And I even filmed a little bit a couple years ago, but just kind of tinkering with it. And, as you guys probably know how kind of side projects go, the ones you just kind of tinker with, you sort of have to one day just decide, no, I need to get this thing made. And so, I about a year ago, I kind of decided I just really need to bear down and get this story made. And of course, the guys themselves are getting older. One of the main guys has actually, passed away. And, other people who, from the universities to the broadcasters and folks that were around in 77, some of them aren't around now. So the time was really now to get this story made. Because I think it's an important part of Iowa sports history, and I just really want to see it preserved.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip where you were chatting with Ron Gonder, the legendary former play-by-play guy. What did he lend to the project? Any inside information or inside stories from the rivalry?
Oh my gosh, Ron was amazing to talk to, and I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure you guys have had the chance probably to talk to Ron over the years, and But we, you know, we went to his house and he took out, he has notebooks where he took handwritten notes for every game that he called in his life, you know, which just, you know, thousands of games. It's unbelievable. So in addition to just his, you know, memory, just kind of off the cuff of it, which was amazing, you know, he was able to go back and look in his, you know, look in his notes for that first game in 77. And, you know, we also talked to him just kind of about the series overall as well, because of course he was broadcasting, you know, well into the, you know, late 90s, I believe. So, you know, he watched a number of games in the series and kind of saw the, just some of the dynamics as they've changed over the years. Obviously, you know, he had kind of competitive years early on, and he had that big long run of Iowa dominance, and then, you know, back to in the, you know, modern era, more, you know, more of a competitive series. But, I, you know, one thing from that first game that he really stood out to him was that, you know, Iowa State came out and their jerseys actually said beat Iowa on them for that first game. And so, and that was something that, you know, he had actually, Dan McCarney, who we spoke to as well, who was an assistant coach at Iowa at that game and on the sidelines, he kind of mentioned that too. Just, it really kind of just, it sounds like it just sort of shocked everybody in the stadium when they came running out in those jerseys. So, but yeah, Ron, I mean, Ron provides some great insights and some really great history in the film as well.
Yeah, I don't think the beat Iowa jerseys worked for Iowa State that day, but the series has been pretty interesting here the last couple decades. Hey, before we let you go, ballpark idea. I know you mentioned you're in post-production on this, but are you looking to maybe try to get this out right around football season, right around this year's game? Is that the target date?
That's absolutely our goal, is to have it ready to do some statewide screenings, you know, in that lead up to this year's game. We've had some talks about a statewide television broadcast, which is not finalized, but we're hoping we can make that happen as well. But, you know, one way or the other, we're definitely going to make this film available for, you know, people throughout the state to see it and enjoy it.
One last time, what was the website if people want, people are interested in contributing?
Yep. So they can go to Indiegogo, which is, Indiegogo is like Kickstarter, if you're not familiar with it, and search for a Cy-Hawk documentary there. They can also just link from CyHawkDocumentary.com, or we're also on Facebook at Cy-Hawk Documentary.
Great stuff, Ben. Good luck, and I'm looking forward to watching the finished product, hopefully sometime this September.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Great talking to you guys.
Ben Godar, the documentary filmmaker, The Birth of the Cy-Hawk series documentary coming soon to a theater near you in perhaps Iowa City, if Hawkeye fans can raise more money. Than I think that was the most interesting part in reading up on this project before we got rolling here, is that they're having a fun way of pitting the two fan bases against one another on where they're going to premiere the movie.
Well, I look at the story and I say, if you want to know how much this rivalry is driven by the two fan bases, none other than the fact that the trophy was created by the fans shows that. So I had no idea the origination of this trophy, but what an interesting story.
See, we could start like the Greater Cedar Rapids Athletic Club and then just go around handing out trophies. I think that'd be a good job to have.
Can we get the Evergreen League to sponsor the trophy?
What's today? Thursday? No.
No?
Maybe if this
only
were...
Only on Wednesday?
Only on Wednesdays. Todd Brommelkamp, Alex Kuhn, taking a quick break, quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board for you, plus an opportunity while we're talking about the Hawkeyes. You think about Iowa, you think about the Fieldhouse, maybe, on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. We've got a $30 gift certificate to give away to someone today before 7 o'clock. So check it out. FieldhouseFirstAve.com. That's Fieldhouse, the numeral one, STAVE.com. Learn more. You can also go to our Facebook page, KGYM Radio. We got the link there for you as well. So keep listening. Somebody's going to take home that gift certificate. Back with more after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
A segment of fans have been calling for manager Joe Maddon to install Albert Almora atop the Cubs lineup. Beat writer Patrick Mooney even wrote about the topic yesterday in the aftermath of yet another early season rainout. On Thursday, Maddon unveiled his lineup for the rescheduled contest with St. Louis, and there was Almora batting leadoff and playing center field. That wasn't the only notable difference. Javier Baez was elevated to the
number two spot in the order, and Madden said he sees great things for the former first-round draft pick, going so far as to say if Baez can lay off the down-and-away slider, he'll be the next Manny Ramirez. Madden also justified moving Baez to the two-hole by proclaiming he wanted to see more energy at the top of the lineup. The Cubs' problems in the early going extend well beyond lack of energy. The return of first baseman Anthony Rizzo could help jumpstart things, but it's safe to say fans are hoping Madden's latest lineup experiment turns out to be more of a hit than a swing and a miss. Literally.
Get ready to journey further, because the all-new Yamaha Star Venture Transcontinental Tour offers a new level of power, technology, and comfort that's redefining luxury touring. It starts with a massive 113-cubic-inch air-cooled V-twin fuel-injected engine, plus lots of never-before-seen touring features, like a SurePark parking assist system that lets you maneuver forward and back with ease, dual-zone audio capability so you and your passenger can listen to separate music, heated rider and passenger seats and backrests, heated grips, a full-featured infotainment system with 7-inch LCD color touchscreen, huge locking saddlebags with electric remote, and tour trunk with passenger backrest, plus much more, all to help you journey further than ever. Visit YamahaMotorsports.com to learn more. Then visit Sun and Fun Motorsports to see the incredible all-new Star Venture. Journey further. Sun and Fun Motorsports. 155 Escort Lane Southwest in Iowa City. Dress properly for your ride with a helmet, eye protection, long sleeves, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It is illegal and dangerous.
Come party, drink, and dance on the Miller Lite dance floor at Zevener 2.9 Prom. It's everything you liked about high school prom.
Without all the rules.
If you're 21 or over, get your tickets now for $20.
Cash only.
At Theater Cedar Rapids, both Elevate Salon and Spa locations, Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse, and Hurting and Stalker Jewelers. Party it up on the Miller Lite dance floor Saturday, April 28th during Zevener 2.9 Prom at the Doubletree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets are going quick. Get them now.
This is a place known for being nice. But Minnesota Twins outfielder Byron Buxton is anything but that. Do you think he's trying to be nice when he taunts pitchers on the base path? Nah, the dude will straight up steal whenever he wants. He doesn't even try to be sneaky about it. He'll do it when everyone in the stadium expects it, just to show there's nothing anyone can do about it. This is not Minnesota nice. This is how we baseball. Get your tickets to see the Twins in action at twinsbaseball.com.
Well, he wants scores. All the scores from Boston to Chicago.
She wants songs. All her favorite songs from Boston to Chicago.
You sing along to Little Red Corvette every single time it's on the radio.
And you still talk about the Big Red Machine.
Not as much. My teams are L.A. and Philly.
So you're an L.A. woman now.
Yeah, for baseball. And hello, Eagles all the way.
Just because they beat Brady, you are such a pretender.
Oh, Brass in Pocket. Another great song.
Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Wow. You, sir, are a mouthful.
Evan Gattis of the Houston Astros was unaware of how many outs there were today and walked into a triple play. Just meandering on the base paths. Thought there were already three outs. Baseball, gotta love it. One day you're watching a guy walk into a triple play. The next day you're watching a 16-inning game. Or, in the case of our North Gym listeners, 107.5 FM listening to a 16-inning game. The Twins and the Indians last night. Holy cow. They had, you know, the island may have been without electricity, but there was a lot of electricity inside that stadium last night. And I purposely said that to be as a prototypical oblivious, bloviating sports talk person. That's totally something you would hear on any other sports, and it wouldn't even register with the person who said it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, not cool, dude. 319-366-1600. Great stuff with Ben. Looking forward to seeing that movie, and it may or may not come up on Would Ya? As a topic coming up in hour number two. We're going to squeeze in a big board. Kyle's back with us. Go ahead, Kyle.
The Big Ten announced its scheduling assignments for the upcoming basketball season today. Iowa's going to have home and aways with Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. They're going to have one game hosting Illinois, Maryland, and Michigan, and one game at Minnesota, Penn State, and Purdue. This will be the first year of a 20-game conference schedule, and full schedules will be announced in mid-August. The Iowa wrestling team saw varying degrees of success throughout the season, but four Hawkeye wrestlers were consistent with their academics all season long. Michael Kammerer, Alex Marinelli, Brandon Sorensen, and national champion Spencer Lee were all named to the National Wrestling Coaches Association Division I All-Academic Team. It's the second straight season being honored for Sorensen and Kammerer, and the 13th straight season that at least one Hawkeye has been recognized. The Iowa baseball team's getting ready for a weekend series with 25th-ranked Minnesota beginning tomorrow, but today also added another opponent to its 2018 schedule. The Hawkeyes will now face Missouri, who currently sits at 25-12 on the year, on May 1st at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. A previously scheduled matchup with Western Illinois on that day will now be played on May 2nd. It's going to be the first meeting between Iowa and Mizzou since 1997. After five straight days without playing competitive baseball, the Cardinals finally got a day without complications. Almost. A doubleheader in Beloit was scheduled to begin at 4, but will now start in just a few minutes at 5 o'clock. Blaine Enloe will get the start in Game 1, and then Game 2 will be played under the lights.
I will believe the Cardinals are playing again when I see it, which means perhaps tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Hey, I have not forgotten. Caller number 6, 319-366. 1600. You're going to take home a $30 gift certificate to the field.